And the Mishnah says, Kol mitzvot haben al ha'av, anashim chayavin, v'nashim pturot. V'chol mitzvot ha'av al ha'ben, echad anashim, v'echad nashim chayavin. Okay, the first clause of the Mishnah talks about the difference between men and women with regards to parenthood. That there's some difference between men and women with regards to parenthood, and then in one way they're the same, in one way they're different. It's actually hard to figure out exactly what the Mishnah means. Does anybody want to try to take a crack at it? In what way are men the same, and in what way are women are men different from women? What does it mean when it says, Kol mitzvot haben al ha'av, anashim chayavin, v'nashim pturot? All the mitzvot of the son on the father, men are obligated, women are exempted. What does that mean?
Not quite, but
okay. Okay, and then what about v'chol mitzvot av al haben echad anashim v'echad nashim chayavin? What does that mean? Hold on. So in other words, the first clause is talking about the responsibilities of a parent for the child, and then the second clause is talking about a child towards the parent. Okay, very good. Now the Gemara is going to explain it. It's actually the first question that the Gemara is going to ask. As you can see, Rashi even says, "Kol mitzvot ha'av b'Gemara mefarish l'kula matnitin." Rashi doesn't want to give you any spoilers. Sometimes Rashi spoils everything. Sometimes he says, "Don't worry, you'll figure it out in the Gemara." Second clause: "V'kol mitzvot asay shazman grama anashim chayavin v'nashim pturot." If you're wondering where that came from, it's from this Mishnah. Okay, this Mishnah is the one that tells you. Furthermore, you know, obviously piggybacking off of the difference between men and women, another difference between men and women is that women are not obligated in mitzvot asay shehazman grama. Who wants to define that for us?
Time-bound.
Positive commandments. Okay, what does time-bound mean?
There's a defined time for doing it.
A lack of defined, not time-bound.
What's the difference between halachically time?
The time bound is a halachic construct, not an astronomical construct. Like Kiddush HaChodesh or Hunting the Omer or Shabbat.
So wait, Kiddush HaChodesh is a halachic time or a regular time or astronomical?
The Kiddush HaChodesh, the Kiddush Levana is an astronomical time.
Okay, Kiddush Levana is an astronomical time and therefore...
And therefore,
women are obligated?
Yeah, it's not a halachic, okay. Sort of halachic construct. It's
okay. What's an example of a halachic construct?
Putting on a
talus
during the day.
So, why is putting on a talus during the day a halachic construct? Isn't it about the sun coming up and going down?
No. You calculate the number of hours.
But the number of hours are based on the sun. If your point...
The talus is probably not a good example, but it's an example of the halakha. You could put on a talit at night just as easy as you put on during the day, but halakha says you've got to put on during the day.
But the day, that word day, how is that different than the moon?
Because the situation. Halakha defines the rest of the day.
But day is defined by the sun coming up and going down, the same way as the moon. Not sure what the difference is.
It's impossible to do it at night, whereas it's astronomically impossible to count the Omer in December because it's not going in the season.
The Omer is a funny case for many reasons. Are women obligated in Sfirat HaOmer?
No.
So there's a famous Ramban in Kedushin. It might even be over here. It might even be around in this daf. I'm not even sure. I didn't look it up. Famous Ramban, in the original versions of the Ramban, he gives a list of the things that women are obligated in, even though they're mitzvot asei shazman grama, and in there he seems to say Sfirat HaOmer. In the later versions of the Chidush Ramban, or Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, he has a asterisk there. He says, you know, this was Rosh Tevot for, he said, I think, let's see if we can work it out. No. It was something with a Samach Ayin or something close to a Samach Ayin. Trying to remember what it could be. Basically, he said, it's not Sfirat HaOmer, it's something else. It was Rosh HaTevot, and then a copyist exploded the Rosh HaTevot, and he wrote Sfirat HaOmer instead of something else. But in most versions of the Ramban, it says Sfirat HaOmer. And there's a whole pilpul about why that would be. I guess it's not going to spoil anything later on in the shir. There are some explanations that say, a little bit different than Rabbi, Rav Yochum Fishel Perlau, writes, and I think this is the most famous explanation for why the Ramban might have said that Sfirat HaOmer is something that women are obligated in, even though it's pretty clearly Zman Grama, I guess, that, you know, it starts on Tet Zayin Nisan. And his explanation is that it doesn't start on Tet Zayin Nisan. When does it start?
Day after Pesach.
It doesn't start the day after Pesach either. Sfirata Omer. Sfirata Omer begins when? After you bring the Omer. Bringing the Omer may be a mitzvah to say Shazman Grama. But Sfirata Omer is not. Sfirata Omer is a mitzvah which is bound to an action, to something that happens.
So if you didn't do the action...
Yeah, fair, but that's not the way it works. But in that sense, they would be obligated. Another example of that, I think in Hegyoni Halacha, Rav Mirsky says, based on that idea, he says, everybody wants to know why women are obligated in Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. Is that what it was? Yeah, but that's not the answer. Because that's not a reason to obligate women in Mitzvot Aseh, Midal Reita.
Why?
Tosfot writes that's only enough to obligate them. We only find Afhen Hayu Bo'oto Anes with Mitzvot Derabanan, Megillah, Chanukah, Kosot, the Arba Kosot, maybe. But not for Mitzvot Aseh Daraita, because it's a svara midrabanan. It's not a svara midaraisa. Afen hayu bo'oto anes is something that the rabbi has invented. It's not something that applies to mitzvot. Because if you would say that, then they'd be obligated in all mitzvot asay of every chag, like Sukkot, or shofar, right? Or not shofar, maybe because there's no nes.
It's not actually Sukkot, the Sukkot. It's the mitzvot within Sukkot.
Yeah, but they're not obligated in Sukkot. So it's somehow Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim must be different. Minchas Chinuch has like a whole long thing about this, and what some say is that we could say the same thing for Sfirat Omer that we said for Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim that we said for Sfirat Omer. What can we say? When do we do Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim? Everybody will say Seder night, which is Tetvav Nisan. So once again, I'll say no.
Every day
we don't do on Tetvav Nisan. Not quite every day. We don't do Tetvav Nisan either. What we do is Al Matzot Umerorim Yochluhu. When do we do Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim? Bizman Shematzot Umerorim Lefanecha. That's what it says in the Haggadah, right? Which means that matzah and maror, that's time bound. But once you have the matzah and the maror on in front of you on the 15th of Nisan, you do Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Except matzah maror yochluhu is Pesach Sheni.
No, it's both. Is it not also? I'm not sure, but it's not. I thought that was the quote from the Haggadah. That's the Mishnah in Pesachim, no?
It is in the Haggadah.
I'm pretty sure.
It's in the Haggadah, but when it's used in the Haggadah, the bracha is from Pesach Sheni.
Okay. Whatever it is, though, the point is that on the night of Pesach, you have Matzah and Maror,
yeah,
and you're supposed to do Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. Thank you. So it's the same thing. It's not time bound, it's action bound.
But it's a duke in the words, because I don't think we'll discuss this later, but it's a duke in the words. It's Zman Grama.
Yeah.
But it's time causes.
It's caused by the time. That's it. It's not time. Time bound is not a great. Because it implies that, okay, if a mitzvah is circumscribed by time, then women are not obligated in it. And that's not really how it works. Really, how it works is that if it's caused by time, if there's the starting point of the mitzvah has something to do with time, then, and the ending point maybe, then they're exempt from it. I don't know how we got on the stop. How we got on the tangent.
That's true.
No, I know. The mission says. Fine. Oh, astronomical time. Right. Okay. So, Anashim chayavim and Anashim pterod. V'chol mitzvot taseh shelo hazman grama, echad ha'anashim ve'echad ha'anashim chayavim. V'chol mitzvot lo taseh bein hazman grama, bein shelo hazman grama, echad ha'anashim ve'echad ha'anashim chayavim. Chutz mibal takif u'bal tashchit u'bal titame lemeitim. With regards to mitzvot taseh shelo hazman grama, men and women are equal. With regards to mitzvot lo taseh, whether there's zman grama or not zman grama, men and women are equal. Except for three mitzvot lo taseh that women are exempted from. Two of them are obvious, the third is less so. Bal takif, what's that?
Shaving.
Cutting the
size.
Right. The making a bowl cut of the priests. Right. Baal Takif and Baal Tashchit. Baal Tashchit is similarly
shaving
with a razor on those five spots that exist on the face. And then the last one is Ubalti Tamalametim. What's that talking about? It means that Ami's girls are allowed to go to the cemetery if ever they have to, which they shouldn't have to. Why? Even though it's a mitzvah lota, say they're benot kohanim, so they don't serve as kohanim. A lot of people don't serve as kohanim that are kohanim, right? People with a mum, they're still not allowed to become tamei lameit. Why are women exempted?
Because they're inherently exempted.
Right. So I know that we think, oh well, they're inherently exempted, but why? Right? They're kohanim. She's a bat kohen, so why is she inherently exempted from tumat kohanim, from tumat metim?
She's never
going to
work in the Beit HaMikdash.
But again, who said that it's connected to working in the Beit HaMikdash? Maybe a kohen has to be kadosh even if they're not. So the short answer is the pasuk excludes them because it says
bnei Aaron,
emoral bnei Aaron v'lo bnot Aaron. The Gemara is going to get into that later on. Fine. That's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah in general is going through two things. Number one, the difference between men and women as parents, and the difference between men and women in general vis-a-vis mitzvot. Okay? All right, let's jump in. The Gemara says, "My komitzvot ben alav." This is what we were wondering. What does that phrase even mean? Ilema, if you say komitzvot mechayev bra, lemeaved la'aba, bra is a
son.
Bra is a son. If you're talking about mitzvot that a son has to do for a father, meaning kibud av v'em, nashim p'turot, are women exempted from that? V'hatanya, but there's a braita that says ish ein li ala ish, the pasuk in the Torah says ish, I'm going to find it on the side, ish imo v'aviv tirao v'chabtatay tishmo ani Hashem elokechem. It says ish, and then it's ein li ala ish, isha minayin, k'shomer ish imo v'aviv tirao. Harei kan shnayim, right? It says both a man and a woman, mother and a father. So it teaches you that women are also obligated in kibud aveim. So it can't mean that. Amar Yehuda hachikamar kol mitzvot haben hamutalot al ha'av. It's the opposite, like you guys were saying. It's the mitzvot that apparently a father has to do towards his son. A father has towards his son. They have mitzvot. Anashim chayvim v'nashim p'turot. Apparently, you know how like when your wife goes out like for dinner or goes to somewhere and then someone says to you, oh, you're home babysitting? And then you say, no, I'm home fathering, right? So apparently, only a father is a real parent, according to this. Because there are things that the father has responsibilities for and the women don't have responsibility for. Right? The father's got these responsibilities. What?
Both ways.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure I tell you my wife. So it says, that's what the Gemara seems to be saying over here. It says, there are things that a man is obligated in, and women are not obligated in terms of parenting. Tinyan elohad tana rabbanan. Here it comes from. What are we talking about over here? What are the exact actions that we're talking about? Ha'av chayev bevno, lemolo, lifdoto, lelamdo Torah, Ulhasio isha, ulamdomunot. Right, five things. What are they? Number one, Brit Milah. Number two, Jonah Ben. Number three, Talmud Torah. Number four, marriage. And ulamdomunot, teach him a job. V'yesh omrim af lahashito b'mayim. Some say even to teach them to swim. What's the reason? Rashi explains. First of all, let's look at Rashi on. Because he might go in a boat and then if he falls over he won't be able to swim and he'll die or he'll be in danger, so you should teach him. Fine, these are chiyuvim that a father has for his son. Rabbi Yehuda omer kol sheinu melamed et beno amanut melamdo listut. Rabbi Huda says anybody who doesn't teach their child a skill or a trade, it's like he's teaching him to be a bandit, or a thief, or degenerate. Right, right, exactly, because there's no other way to make money other than to steal. And so that's what he's teaching him to do. All the way at the end of the Masechet, we have a little bit of a stira to this. You have Rav Naharai, or Rav Meir, I can't remember actually. It's all the way at the end. Who says that he's not going to teach his child anything except for Torah. And so everybody jumps in and tries to figure out how can he say that in light of, you know, what it says over here, and how does that work? I'm not going to get into it.
It's also that some of the trades are stealing camel.
In terms of?
That Gemara also says that certain of the trades are equivalent to stealing.
Right. Like which? Shepherds in general, yeah. It's funny how shepherding is considered to be a dishonest profession by the time of the. It's interesting. Specifically, camel herding.
No, but this is actually the lowering, isn't it?
Okay, so here's the key of what we're going to be talking about. The next line. Lamulo minayin minalan. How do you know that a father has an obligation to give his son a bris milah? This is very surprising. The answer. Before reading ahead, what do you expect the answer is going to be?
A promise.
That's what you expected the answer to be?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have expected some kind of post Matan Torah pasuk to tell me.
Yeah. Moshe's one.
She did.
Which is also why it's interesting that it's not a mitzvah on women.
So well,
if you're going to follow Abraham,
you're right.
The union of halacha is entirely after.
Yeah, and it wasn't. She didn't necessarily have a command to do it, as we're going to see that Abraham did. Right. But I'm still surprised. I mean, I would have expected some kind of post Matan Torah.
It's the original brick.
Because the Rambam says that all the mitzvot that we do nowadays, we don't do it because Avram or Yitzhak or Yaakov did it. We do it because we're bound by Sinai.
Fine, that's the original brick.
Brick is the exception.
That's true.
It's not an
exception. We do it. We mention Brito Shel Avraham
Avinu. The halachas of brick from Avraham.
But I think we do. We learn. Yeah. Well, as we're going to see, we do. But the Rambam, I think that was his example, was that we don't do a bris milah because Avram did, we do it because of ours.
But there is no pasuk, is there?
So, anyways, you are right, Paul. Lamula min alan, dechtiv vayimol Avraham et Yitzchak beno, because Avram did bris milah. It's a kind of a funny source, only because it had to be Avram or Sarah, it couldn't be both. So the fact that Avram did it and Sarah didn't doesn't mean that Sarah couldn't have done it or that she shouldn't have done it. It just means that Avram did do it. No?
Well, maybe it's because Avram, he did bris milah with Ishmael, didn't he?
Yeah.
So if he'd have done Ishmael and we didn't look to him having done Yitzchak, then it could have looked as though somehow
the truth is I'm misrepresenting the Gemara a little bit, because all the Gemara is saying so far is that a father has an obligation. Hasn't yet said anything about a woman not having an obligation. Yeah. It's just proving that since Avram did it for Yitzchak, you see that there is some obligation of the father on the son to do it. However, what happens if the father is out of the picture? He doesn't want to do it, or he can't do it. We can't be involved. He's not around. Or he passed away. So then the next person to do it is the Beit Din. They have an obligation. Dechtiv, himol lachem kol zachar. Okay? Himol lachem kol zachar, which is also from Bereshit, by the way. Doesn't even go further than that. Ve'hecha d'loma le Beit Din ha-michayev ihu l'mimhal nafshei. And if the Beit Din doesn't do it, then the child himself, when he grows up, must arrange for a brit milah. Dichtiv, v'arel zacher shelo yimol b'sar loto v'nichreta. If there's karet for him, then it must be that he has an obligation to take care of it. The truth is that it's all his obligation. It's all his obligation. It's just that the father is supposed to take care of it when he's a child.
And now, if he's using Avram as the makor, then he should be able to use Moshe's wife as the makor as well. In terms of who else,
the Seder,
that's what he's saying. If the father's not there, then who next? And then
there's not actually a pasuk.
It doesn't say he that anyone was commanded other than Avraham.
The question is it a mitzvah? is she commanded to do
it?
No, but what I'm saying is if you're bringing him up...
18 who hadn't had written it,
and the father
was around.
Who's responsibility is it?
I think in that case it's still the father's... Well, we'll see what it is that the father has to do. Where his responsibility extends to. You know, most people, most fathers don't actually do the bris milah, right? They just arrange for it. And I don't know anybody who'd give himself a bris milah. Except for Avraham.
There's no
Torah
source that
did it. Sure she did. It says explicitly that Tzipora did it. Yeah. Well, let's see. So the Gemara, with regards to... You're right, though. She's missing from the list. The Gemara says that for sure the father has a responsibility. If he doesn't do it, then the Beis Din has to do it. And if the Beis Din doesn't do it, then the child has to do it himself.
After Zippora did it, did Moshe then, as he fulfilled the commandment, even though he had nothing to do with it?
Well,
or does
when,
it matter about it, because it's really on the child?
Even if he had it, it wouldn't matter, because if the father doesn't do it, then the Beit Din does it. It's not like the father can come back and say, okay, now I want to do it again.
Case,
right? Because it's not about that. It's about the child being Nemo. He just has first dibs and a responsibility. But... yes, the mother seems to be missing from this list. So the Gemara says, "Ihi minalan delo mechayva." How do we know that she is not obligated? Dichtiv kasher tziva oto Elohim, oto v'lo ota. Same pasuk, right? Same pasuk over here. Vayimala Avramat Yitzchak ben Oben Shmonat Yamim kasher tziva oto Elohim. The fact that it says oto and it doesn't say the fact that it says explicitly oto seems to exclude implicitly ota. Now, that's it. Okay, so that tells you that a woman is exempt from making sure that her child has a brit milah. Now, I do want to point out that the woman may still be obligated, but not as a mother. What do we mean when we say that the Beit Din takes care of it? Yeah, but it just means the kilah. It just means everybody has to take care of it. The community has to take care of it. The woman's also part of the community. She's part of that. She may not be exempted from the general communal requirement. She just doesn't have a parental special relationship responsibility to take care of the brit milah of the child. Okay, so ota. Now the Gemara addresses my issue, which is why I use Avram as the example. So it says, Ashkechan miyad. This only tells us about that moment. This only tells us that Avram had to do it. L'dorot milalan. How do we know that this is going to be true forever? Maybe this was only for Avram. Maybe it was something special about Avram. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, kol makom shenemar tzav, enu ala zirus miyad l'dorot. Whenever it says tzav, like over here where it says vayitzav, it's always going to be for now, a zirus, like make sure you do it with excitement and energy, and it means that it's lenetzach, it's the darot, it's forever. And it gives two different psukim as examples of both of these aspects. Dechtiv minayom asher tziv, sorry, v'tzav et Yehoshua, v'cheskehu v'amtzehu, right? V'tzav, that's tzav, and it's cheskehu v'amtzehu, to be strong. Miyar uledorot, dechtiv, minayom asher tziva Hashem v'hala ledoroteichem, right? Asher tziva, and then it says ledoroteichem. So that tells you that whenever you have the word tzav, it always means miyad uledorot. So that's why when it says vayitzav Hashem et Avraham, it was going to be for right then and there, and he needs to take care of it strong. And it also means that for the future, it's always going to be the father who is obligated. Okay, that's our Gemara for tonight. What is of interest to us about this? So we're going to jump over to Tosfot on the side. Okay? Oto velo ota. Anybody want to volunteer to read this Tosfot for me or no? If not, I'll read it. It's fine. Anybody? Oto velo ota. It's a short one. Fine. I'll do it. V'im tomar. Right? The structure of Tosfot almost always starts with V'im tomar. And then you have to look for the Yesh lomar. It starts with a question. You'll say this, and then you have to find the answer to know, you know, where the brackets are. Im tomar lama li kra tepuk le de mitzvat asei shehazman gramahu shenimol b'shmini leleidato v'nashim p'turot. What's Tosfot asking?
falls within Hasman Grama, why do you need this?
We're wondering whether or not a woman is obligated to give a bismillah to her child.
Yeah, because it's within 8 days.
Why do I need to find the pasuk to exempt a woman? She's exempted anyways, because it starts from day 8 of the child's life, which means it is Zman Grama, and therefore she should be anyways Ptura. Meikara. She should never be, she shouldn't have been Chayavet, that she need to be exempted. That's Tosfos' question. This question of Tosfos fired off like every Rishon, every Acharon. We have about 6 answers that we're going to find tonight to this question. You don't like the question, Paul?
No.
Why?
Because it's the 8th day and on, first of all, for a Brit Milah.
Fine.
So
you don't think that should count as time bound? Because
no, I don't think that would rule out the question of is she higher. And secondly, we have other mitzvahs which are a day, which women are bound by.
Example?
Shabbat.
So that's a special example, isn't it? That's because, first of all, it's a mitzvah lo taaseh, Shabbat in general. But they have kiddush also, but that's an exception.
Okay.
The Gemara says that's an exception, because Zachor v'shamor b'dibur echad, she should be exempted from there. She is exempted.
So this is lulav she doesn't have.
She is exempted from motzvah mitzvot on the chag.
But the 8 days onwards is a better thing. Like, if it's not like you've got...
But explaining what you used earlier, like matzah maror lying before you, there's an uncircumcised 8-year-old child of hers lying before her.
Well, say again?
You said that matzah maror
right.
before you takes away the time-bound aspect of it.
Yeah, because
she's
what's
got a
really
child
initiated...
lying before her.
Yeah.
Who's uncircumcised. And
but he was uncircumcised on day one, too. Nothing happened on the 8th day. Nothing happened. Nothing. No event occurred on the 8th day that would kick off the obligation. No, you have now you have matzah and maror in front of you. That's what's kicking off. I hear you, but matzah and maror on the night of Pesach is a special thing. No, but there's nothing happening on the 8th day of Pesach.
Of becoming obligated.
No, but that's not a thing that happens. That's not a thing that happens. It's just that's the definition of time bound. That's like that's something that happens on the 8th. That's something that begins on the 8th day. I hear your point, which is why not everybody would agree to that answer. But nevertheless, it's a it's an attempted answer.
But what begins is a chiyuv for the rest of his life.
Correct.
Not a chiyuv for the 8th day.
Okay, so.
Yeah, but it's always good.
So good. So you know what, Paul? You read Tosa's answer. V'yesh lomar. Go ahead. Trust me. V'yesh lomar.
No.
Any glasses?
I think you'll be happy with Tosa's answer. I mean, in other words, it says V'yesh Lomar. It's the fourth line of the Tosfot.
Okay, V'yesh Lomar. Kiven da demiyom hashmini from the 8th day, umala and then on.
Vahala, yeah.
Ela Hefsek, there's no break, so it's continually higher from the 8th day and on. Loves Zman Grama, it's not Zman. Loves Zman Grama who?
There you go.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go. Just because from the 8th day on, there's no stoppage, so therefore it's not Zman Grama. So Paul, you intuitively knew that this was right, but can you explain why? Like, why is it not Zman Grama anymore? Just because it starts on the 8th day and never stops?
Well, the concept of Zman Grama, I think you said before, has to have a beginning and an end.
Ah. So that appears to be what Tosfos is saying, and what you're saying, right? What you intuitively are catching on to is that Zman Grama doesn't just mean that it has a starting point, but it must have an ending point. It's supposed to be something that is bounded in time, but the Brit Milah is not bounded in time. It has a beginning point, but no end point. It's always going to exist once it comes into life. That's a chiddush, right? I mean, it's a chiddush, but it's a novel idea that we wouldn't have come up with on our own necessarily. That you have to have an end point for it to be considered Zman Grama. If you have anything else, that's supposed to start. Let's say you had something that starts on January 16th, and then forever it's that way.
That's the opposite of what you said before, when we defined it as time bound. And then you said it wasn't time bound, it was time caused.
Right.
So time caused would be the
because the word Zman Grama. You're right. You're right. So maybe that's where the time bound comes from. But Zman Grama doesn't mean that. Right. Zman Grama means it started by Zman. It doesn't mean that it's ended at some point by Zman. So for example, Chadash, right? Yashan and Chadash, that occurs when? On the Sefirat HaOmer, right? On the Sefirat HaOmer, that's when Chadash becomes Yashan, and then it's now Mutar. Now, the fact is that there's no mitzvah there. It's just something that happens, and then the food becomes Mutar. The only mitzvah there is the mitzvah lo tasei, not to eat it. But imagine that it would be a mitzvah tasei. Imagine there would be a mitzvah tasei that occurred on that day, and then forever there was now a mitzvah to do something. And it started mamash on a specific day out of 354 days of the year on that day. According to Tosot and according to Paul, that's not Zman Grama. As long as it doesn't have an ending point, it's not Zman Grama. That's what he's saying. I'm only making the point that it's one, you know, it feels okay for us to say, okay, you know, on the eighth day, relatively quick that it becomes, you know, he's got his whole life. But now I'm saying, you know, according to Tosot, if it was a specific calendaric date, but it didn't have an end, that would still be not Zman Grama, it would seem.
The fact that it's an optimum time isn't enough to make it Zman Grama.
Optimum as opposed to the
Diyavad? It's preferable to do it medically.
Right, I understand. No, you're saying the eighth day is better than every other day. Yes. The eighth day is better than every other day in many ways.
But it can't be before.
No.
But you preferably the eighth, not the ninth, tenth, the 11th. But
you're saying if it could be like, you know, okay, the eighth day is better, so then it would be bounded by the end of the eighth day. Yeah. That's what you're saying. Okay.
But he doesn't
say that.
But then you have that because it has to be, it's not only preferable, it's with the option of any other mitzvah at the same time, you should be doing milah because at every moment you're not doing it.
Well, that's always true.
9, 10, 11, 12, etc.
The thing that makes the eighth day really special is that you can do it on Shabbos. You can do it any time on a fast. You could always do a bit meal on a fast. No. Oh, for the eating? Yeah, that's true.
Question, though.
That's
what do you do for a bit meal on Yom Kippur if somebody's going to drink the wine?
So you don't drink the wine. I don't think you don't drink the wine on Yom Kippur for a bit meal.
On a half-day fast, you can't eat.
Not on Yom Kippur, though.
No, on Yom Kippur, on Shabbat.
On Asarav Teveit, you can eat during the Brit Milah, yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Not everyone.
No, anyone who participates.
No, I don't think so. I don't think anyone who participates.
Everybody takes upon themselves.
I can't remember right now.
They only do it when they have to put it in. I think there's a certain logic to toss what.
So we can make a say.
If you consider. It's quite a simplistic idea of Zman Grama not being obligated in Zman Grama because of the other things that they're supposed to be doing and they're understood.
Right.
So if there's no other time bound, then it should not be Zman Grama because it means they can do it.
Right. They can do it whenever, any time. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. That's a fair point. Yeah.
Sorry, what was the
point? If you said that the reason we're not obligated in Zman Grama is because they're busy with other stuff and they don't want to disturb them from doing important things, whatever. That if there's no other time bound, then there shouldn't be Zman Grama because they can simply do it when they finish the important stuff. Whereas if there's a time bound, you don't want them to stop doing what they're doing.
Yeah. Whatever the reason that women are not obligated and time bound, whatever you want to say the reason, it does likely fall away once you don't have an ending point. It's a fair point.
What is the reason and what is the source for it?
I don't want to go into it right now. That'll take us far afield. There's a lot to say. I actually wrote an article about this in Beit Yitzchak, which is the journal for NYU. I went over a few of the reasons that I had seen, and we tried to figure out some actual differences in terms of halakha according to those reasons. But I don't get into it right now.
How far back does it go?
The Mishnah says it. The Mishnah already says it.
But not the reason.
No, not the reason. The reason you have like 10th century, you start to see explanations for it. Okay, that's the first half of Tosfos. The second half of Tosa says, V'im Tomar, it says, fine, you're right. It starts from the eighth day and it has no ending point. But that's not really true because it does have an ending point. V'im Tomar, Akati, Mitzata Seisha Zman Gramahu, it's still, De'ein Malin, Ela,
Bayom.
Kedita Peperka Arel. You don't do Bris Milah at night. You only do it during the day. Classic. classic Zman Grama. No? You only do it during the day, you don't do it at night. That's a Zman Grama. No Bris Mila at night. Do you get any more Zman Grama than that? That's pretty much it. This is the point that everybody has to figure out.
But it's every day. It's the next day. After.
Oh, okay. So what does Tosus say? So Tosus's answer is a cop out. Tosus is going to leave this question. He says, "Well, Yesh Lomar Da'at Kamad Amar Hatam Damila Shalom Ismana Noheget Ben Bayom Ben Belayla." This Mishnah is according to the opinion that says that you can do Brit Mila at night. In other words, not this Mishnah, this Gemara rather. Wow. This Gemara is according to the opinion that says that you can do it at night, which means that's why it needs otovo lo'ota. But you're right. If you believe that Brit Mila can only be done during the day, then you don't need otovo lo'ota. She's exempt because it's mitzvah tasei shazman grama. End of story. So according to this Tosvot, the real reason, because we do paskin, that we only do Brit Mila during the day and not at night, the real reason a woman is not obligated in doing a Brit Mila for her child is because it's only done during the day and not at night. It is absolutely a mitzvah tasei shazman grama. End of story, according to this Tosot. Satisfying? How is a woman obligated in general in Korban Pesach?
It's going to be eaten at night.
A woman is obligated in Korban Pesach. I don't think it's the matzah. I'm not sure she is obligated in Korban Pesach. I don't think a woman is obligated in Korban Pesach. Oh, wait, no. I think I have an answer for you. I just don't know if it's right. somebody quickly look up if a woman is obligated in Korban Pesach. I think the answer is because it's Karis, but we'll see. But that gets us complicated. But I don't think a woman is obligated in Korban Pesach. But,
what is the conclusion to tell us for a minute? Do with that talk?
He says, this drasha is not necessary for our opinion, for our position.
Left with an old talk. No,
yeah. No, not so much, I guess. Or if he needs it later, he'll find the reason. Yeah. But that's Tosus's approach. Every Rishon in the books asks this question, no? And so we'll turn over the sheets. So I actually numbered these over here. Five different other answers that I can find. I put one in brackets because it's like what some people call mushy a little bit, but. Let's look at the first four and look at them seriously. Okay? These are major opinions, these four opinions. The Ritva. The Ritva stands for?
Rav.
Yitzchak.
So, my Rav and Yeshiva used to do this to us. He used to say, what does the NBA stand for? What does the NCAA stand for? What does NHL stand for? What does the Ritva stand for? Rabbeinu Yom Tov Ben Avraham. So, V'chi Teima, Lama Likra, typically...
You didn't tell what NBA stands.
National Basketball Association. V'chi Teima, Lama Likra, Ritva has asked the same question. Why do I need the Pasuk of Otov Lota? Typically, David Tata Seishas Man Gramai, Demila Bayom, Vela Belayla, V'nashim Pturos. And don't give me any business about how this Gemara is according to the other opinion. I'm not satisfied with that. He says, What did Ritva say? When is a woman exempted because it's a mitzvah to say shazman grama?
When it's on her. But this is on her son.
When it's on her body. When it's her body, she's putting tefillin on or tzitzis on.
That contradicts the Mishnah.
When it's her that has to sit in the sukkah. But when it's an obligation on somebody else and it's her responsibility to take care of that other person, the real chiyuv over here is on the ben. Everybody can agree with that. The brit milah is on the ben. It's just a question of whether or not the woman is supposed to take care of it. So there, the Ritva says, she might have been obligated... What was that, Paul?
Doesn't that contradict what we just learned in the Mishnah?
transport it in a way needed.
No, because it would, except this is the reason why she's not obligated. In other words, she would have been obligated if it wasn't for this. If it wasn't for Otov Lota, she would have the same obligation as her husband to take care of the Brit Milah for her son. And our question is why? It's a mitzvah tasei shasman grama. And the answer is, it's a mitzvah tasei shasman grama shelo begufa. It's not on her.
But then you're ignoring the follow-up of the fact that if the father can't do it, it's still on the kila to do it. And once it's on the kila, then that becomes on her as well. If he's saying that the whole idea...
Yeah, no, but that's the reason why she should be obligated, not that she should be exempted. This all gets very confusing. We're trying to figure out if she's anyways exempted based on Yitzhak Tasei Shasman Garma, then why do I need another pasuk? So now the Ritva has shown us that she would not be exempted because of Mitzvah Tasei Shasman Grama. She'd be obligated because it's Shalom Begufa. So if it wasn't for Oto V'lo Ota, she'd be
obligated.
Which is why, as part of the Kila, she is obligated. Oto V'lo Ota is the obligation on the father.
The Mishnah says she's not obligated for this.
Yes, but it doesn't say why. It doesn't say why. The Gemara is the reason.
Answer the Ritva is she is obligated.
She would be obligated.
Would be obligated because it's someone else.
Yes.
But our Mishnah says she's not.
No. But our Mishnah doesn't say why. The Gemara says why. The Gemara says the reason she's not obligated is because of Otov V'lo Ota. The Mishnah doesn't say the reason she's not obligated is because it's a mitzvah tasei shasman grama. It never says that.
So why is the Ritva saying she would otherwise be obligated when there's a Mishnah saying she wouldn't?
But that's fine. What you just said makes sense. The Mishnah says that she's not obligated. The Ritva says she would have been obligated, except for Oto V'lo Ota, which is what the Gemara explains.
But Mishnah says covers this case.
What do you mean this case?
This would only cover Bris Milah.
Yeah.
But the Mishnah is wider than that.
We didn't talk about the... Well, the Mishnah doesn't actually explain itself. It doesn't even give you the examples of the things that she's obligated
right.
in.
But or, it covers everything then.
No, kol mitzvot ben alav anashim chayavim anashim pturot. Yeah, but the Gemara tells us what kol means. It means five things.
Right.
Six.
That's what the Ritva is saying covers all five.
No, Ritva's not trying to cover all five. It's just covering one. Each one you have to evaluate on its own. Right when we're talking about Brit Milah, Mishnah says a woman is, Mishnah for all intents and purposes says that a woman is not obligated to take care of the Brit Milah of her son. That's how the Gemara explains the Mishnah. We don't know why. The Gemara says why. Oto v'lo ota. Ritva says, but I have another reason why she should be exempted. Mitzvah tasei shasman grama. Ritva basically invents the idea that a woman's ptur, her exemption of mitzvah tasei shasman grama, only applies to mitzvot that are on her body or that are on her herself, but not the things that involve other people.
Okay, so you know he's talking about Brit Milah, but Pidyon HaBen, you'd think it's the same answer?
We didn't talk about Pidyon HaBen. We didn't get to Pidyon HaBen. The Gemara will get to Pidyon HaBen. We won't do it tonight. So let's ignore it for now.
It's almost counterintuitive, though, because you'd expect that what's due to your own body is more important than what's due to another party. So if you've got the exemption of Hasman Grama for what you're doing to your own body, you'd have thought Kavah Chomer, what you've got to do for somebody else, for a second person, where you've not got the primary obligation, then you definitely shouldn't be.
Maybe. I hear what you're saying. It gets into the philosophy of how Mitzvah Tasei Shasman Grama works and why she doesn't do it. I'm sure it has to do with that. I don't know. You can't say one way or another, but I hear you.
Yeah, but the Brit, we said the Brit is the responsibility, at the end of the day, the Brit is the responsibility on the Jewish male, right? Not on the father. The father does it because at 8 days old, the kid's not going to do it, right?
Right.
So she's doing it because he's a boy. She's allowed to do it.
Yes, but we're saying that Mitzvah Tasei Shasman Grama wouldn't apply.
But here, I mean, think about it like this.
It's not applying, right, because it's not on her, it's on him, right? The mitzvah is on him. He's got no one else to do it.
I think that's the key.
She's not doing it on her. She's not doing it on herself. She's doing it on him, for him, on his behalf.
Andrew, your argument that, oh, surely if the obligation's on me and I don't have to do it, then if the obligation's on somebody else, I definitely shouldn't have to do it. But this, you know, in this case, right, the reason why we would like the woman to do it is because if she doesn't do it, then who's going to do it? Who's going to take care of the child? The child needs to be taken care of.
Possibly if the father doesn't do it, then it does become something on her. It's no longer on someone else. It actually becomes on her.
And when a woman doesn't do it, so she literally is p'turah from it. But in this case, she may end up being p'turah from the obligation of taking care of it, but the child is still obligated in Brit Milah, one way or another. It doesn't matter. By the way, Ami, just to finish off, the Ritva's ending, to your point, says, "Delo garami beitin, the mechayv lemimale, the hachi itzrich kwa lemiftere, the chtiv otov lota." Should be at least as much as the beitin. What does the Ritva seem to be implying? That she's not even part of the beitin. She's not obligated like the beitin is. She's completely ptura. She's out of the game. Completely out of the game because of otov lota, which is interesting. It doesn't have to read it that way.
Should be other mitzvahs is mangrama, which fall on other people. Mitzvah is somebody else. If what you're saying is mangrama doesn't apply when she's helping someone else fulfill their mitzvah, then she should be able to be mitzvah other people.
I think the answer to your question is that this is a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah that she has to do for somebody else. In other cases, there's no mitzvah for me to do something for somebody else. Another person may have a mitzvah, and I have the ability to help them do it, but I'm not mitzvah to do it.
So it's the absence of a mitzvah on her to help.
Yeah.
You can help me not see somebody else a mitzvah that you're not having.
Not a mitzvah shebegufa, no. No, you can't.
Yeah, but you can here, because you've actually pulled yourself up by your bootstraps. You've said, here, were it not for this, she would, despite his mum grandma, be able to do the mitzvah.
We're saying she has to have a mitzvah before you test the grandma.
You've flipped it, so that should apply to all others mandramas.
No, he's just saying that there's no ptur. There's no ptur.
Well, meaning she has a mitzvah.
Yeah, there has to be a mitzvah.
Yeah, but because let me clarify one thing.
It's on someone else.
Yeah, but it means it doesn't fall away. So let me maybe this will clarify things. Rabbi Soloveitchik has this idea, or Shachter writes about it in Nefesh HaRav, that when we say that a woman is ptura for mitzvah taseh shasman gorma, we're very medayek in the word ptura. What does ptura imply? That's one thing it might apply.
But another thing,
that there was a mitzvah that she was exempted from. But she was there was a mitzvah. As opposed to, for example, a non-Jew, right, who doesn't have the mitzvah at all. He's not ptur for mitzvot. He doesn't have mitzvot. He's not mitzvah. A woman has an obligation that she has been exempted from, for whatever reason that she's been exempted from it. So in this case, she had a mitzvah to take care of the brit milah of her child, and then, because it was man grama, we wanted to take it away from her, and we said, no, we're not going to take it away from her, because it's not her mitzvah, it's her child's mitzvah that she's supposed to do it to.
And when I'm motzei other people, there's no mitzvah on me to do that.
Well, you have to give an example. Where, in what case are you motzei? Because if you're talking about brachot, so that's brachot. That's different. Because that works funny, because that's usually either shomea ka'oneh or af bishiyatza motzei or things like that.
Right.
So that has special, that has its own rules. It's not the same as, you can't be motzei somebody in a mitzvah, like, I can't sit in a sukkah for you. Right? There's no way that I can do that. Okay, that's answer number one in terms of trying to solve the problem internally. Answer number two, Tosfot in Megillah. Okay, so a different Tosfot. When we say Tosfot, we don't mean one specific person. Every single Masechet has a different person who wrote the Tosfot on that Masechet. Sometimes we know who it is, sometimes we don't know who it is. Sometimes they just quote people. So over here, Tosfot says, in answer to the same question, Yishlomer di lava oto hava amina da hainasha b'tirot mitzvot atzei shazman gama hainu, Hecha deleka karet, jemi de matzav asimcha vehakel deleit buhu karet. In what cases is a woman exempted from a mitzvah taseh shazman grama? In cases where there's no karet. Now that covers 99% of mitzvah taseh. Because almost no mitzvah taseh carries with it karet, except for two. Uminayu mematin nashim aval mila sheesh bakaret. Brit Milah and Rael Korban Pesach both carry with them a chiyuv of karet if you don't do it. So it could be that that's the reason, if I correct myself, that the woman is obligated in Korban Pesach because it's karet, and she might it what?
She is.
So it must be because of karet. And Korban and Mila, we might have thought. You might have thought that even though it's a mitzvah to say shasman grama, she'd be obligated.
She's subject to karet?
No. She's not. But it involves karet. That's what he says. Mila, sheyesh ba karet.
For who? For the son.
For the child.
The son, when he's for mitzvah, right?
That's a good question. It's a good question. Exactly when? It's not really clear. I don't even think bar mitzvah. Even bar mitzvah doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But leave it alone. I don't want to get into it. It's hard to figure out. I think there's machlokes Rambam and Ravid over here.
The point is that isn't chal at the time.
No, but it's involved. And he goes further. He says, and also v'nichatu ala ashloshes evritot have a minute b'chayv b'unashem l'mod b'nayo kamash malot adla. Just to summarize this idea, he's basically saying that Brit Mila is different because it's more severe. A woman should, you would think that a woman would be obligated because it's Brit Mila. I mean, come on, guys. Right? When I don't know if it was probably 7 years ago or even more, maybe 8 or 9 years ago on Shavuot night. So I was doing with Rabbi Beller and Doron Chittis. We were doing an event for the teens. And it was great. Doron had come up with this idea. I don't think it was his idea, but he got it. They announced, okay, they're starting a new community in South Africa. A Jewish community in South Africa, and they have $20 million, and you have to figure out how to spend it. And here is a bunch of pieces of paper with things that are part of a Jewish community and their costs. And you have to figure out what are you going to put in, what are you going to be mevater. So there's like, you know, a Beit Knesset, a rabbi, a mohel, a shochet, a bakery, a Beit Sefer, a mikveh, a melamed, a balkoreh, chazan, all these things. And each one carried with it a dollar amount. And the kids had to come up with what they thought. And our job was to kind of push them on these things. And I remember there was one thing that no matter how I tried, I couldn't get any of the kids to get rid of it. And you're not going to believe what it was. No.
The mohel.
It was the rabbi.
Oh, amazing.
Not me.
That's amazing.
It wasn't me. Well, to hear something like that in Israel was pretty amazing. Okay?
Shifted children.
Fine. Whatever it was, that's the impression that they had. That was chokli avor. Meanwhile, in terms of the gender, the girls would not get rid of the mikvah, the boys would not get rid of the shochet. The girls, one girl, that's getting to my point. One girl told me, you can't get rid of the mohel. I said, why not? She said, because then the boys won't be Jewish. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, if he doesn't have a Brit Mila, then he's not Jewish. I said, I don't think it works like that. She said, no, it does. I think I let it go, but that was her impression. But point is, everybody knows Brit Mila is important. So that seems to be, whether you say karet or whether you just say it's important, Tosfot in Megillah says that the point is that it is karet.
That, by the way, is the single highest consensus in Israel.
Mm-hmm. Brit Mila. I don't know how long it's going to last.
97%.
I hope so. Yeah. Okay. So that's two answers now. Answer number three, the Tosfot Tarid. Tosfot Rid and the Shut Maharach or Zarua, both give similar answers. Tosfot Rid kind of has a roundabout way of getting to it. We'll just jump to the underlying part. Ava mitzvah delo talya v'gufa, kegon lamulat bena. So far he sounds like the Ritva. Delo talya v'gufa. Ava gav demila taben yesh lazman, nehi dekabu azman taben nimol, ava la'av, and here I bolded it, shetzivau haborei, this is the key word, lehit asek b'milat beno, ha'isa ka'u, and if you look at the Shut Maharach HaZarua, he also says, most people at this table.
Where does he get that from? Where's that coming from?
Well, I mean, did you give your son a Brit Mila?
But that's not because I've
actually so his claim. So his claim is. That's his claim. That's the claim over here by these two Rishonim. They say that the mitzvah that the father has towards his child is not to actually give him the Brit Mila, but it's to arrange it. Just to arrange it. That's all he has to do. And if the mitzvah is to arrange it, you can arrange it at night.
Yeah.
You can't give it at night, but you can arrange it at night. In other words, what did both Tosfot Arid and the Maharach HaZarua do? They did the same thing that Tosfot and Kiddushin did. What did they do? Well, no, that's right, they didn't. They took away this Zman Grama. Whereas the Ritva says that even though it's Zman Grama, she's still chayavet. And Tosfot and Megillah also says, even though it's Zman Grama, she's still chayavet. Tosfot Arid and the Shut Maharach HaZarua both say, it's not Zman Grama. Why isn't that Zman Grama? Because the action that I'm obligated in is 24/7.
I understand where that comes from. The first two, you can relate directly to the mitzvah.
So the Ur Zarua points out, says, you know, there's a famous midrash about David HaMelech. Right? David HaMelech was upset. He's saying, like, when I'm in the bath, I have no mitzvot. I'm not wearing tefillin. I'm not wearing tzitzis. I can't give tzedakah. Until he looked down, he saw his milah, and he was satisfied. How do you understand this midrash? Doesn't make any sense. He's not involved in a mitzvah. He's not involved in any mitzvah. He happens to have something on his body that he once had a mitzvah done to him. What does it mean? So he says, if the mitzvah of milah is simply to do it, you know, the act of the milah, with my arms I do mitzvot, with my hands, with my legs I do all kinds of mitzvot, with my body. It's like you're wearing tzitzit and tefillin all the time. In other words, milah is not about the act of doing it, it's about having it done and having it on the person's body. So it's a mitzvah of isuk. Okay, that's his claim.
This is the fourth answer.
No, that was the third answer. Well, I don't know how you count. It's answer number three on the sheet.
Yeah.
Answer number four in the sheet, this is the Turei Evan, who's the same as the author of the Shagat Aryeh, a very fiery Achron. And he gives an answer not about Brit Milah, so it's hard to find, okay? Because he's actually talking about something else. He's talking about smicha on korbanot. That's what he's actually talking about. And he's trying to figure out why women are exempted. Why women might not be exempted from it. And he says, v'li nira, why would women be exempted? It's a mitzvah to say shasman grama. In what way? Smicha. Why is it only during the day? Because that's when the korbanot are done, right? Korbanot are only done during the day. Fine. And once you do the korban, you have to do the smicha, right? V'linira delo kasher midi. Delo avi mitzvah taseh shasman grama. He wants to say it's not. Why? Kol hecha shasman hakavua la hu kavua v'omid b'inyan keshavar hazman azda la lagamrei ubatla mitzvata v'en la tashlum me'ata. Did you guys get that part or no? Well, let's jump to the next underlined part that I did. Maybe it'll be clearer. Look at the bolded part. Aval gabei smicha, right? The leaning on the korban. Hakviat zman shekava Torah lemitzvato bayom dafka v'lo balayla. Ein halayla, this is the key. Ein halayla mevatel mitzvato legamrei ela mafseket. Da halayla atzma ina ruila smicha. What's he saying?
It's one flow. And the night isn't a break. It's not a break for
Zman Brahma. It's not as if it stops the mitzvah and then afterwards you have a new mitzvah. It's the same mitzvah. There's just a time when you can't do it. He's so right. No, tzitzit is a new mitzvah every day. You make a new bracha
every day?
It's a new bracha every day. It could be even new bracha within the day. That's a separate point. But yes, it's a new bracha every day. Tefillin, new bracha every day. It's not as if I have an obligation to put on tefillin when I'm 13, and then I'm never supposed to take them off. I'm not allowed to wear them at night. Nobody would think that. And there's no tashlumin for it, he says. Right? That's why most mitzvot don't have tashlumin for it. If you miss it, then the mitzvah the next day is not a makeup for the previous day. It's a new mitzvah. It's a new mitzvah. But smicha is not like that. You have a mitzvah to do smicha on the korban. It's not a different mitzvah the next day if you don't do it the first day. So too, brit milah, what do you say? If I don't do it on a Monday, it's not a new mitzvah on Tuesday. It's the same mitzvah. I'm just not allowed to do it at night. Right? I mean, once he says it, it's blindingly obvious. Of course. That's totally right. In that sense, he says, he wants to say that then that's not Zman Grama. It's only mitzvah taseh shasman grama if it's a new mitzvah the next time. Like sukkah. Sukkah, from one year to the next, you're not making up, you have to sit in the sukkah all the time except in between sukkahs. No. It's a new mitzvah every single year.
Smicha would come to an end at some point, wouldn't it?
I mean, once the animal goes bad, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not proficient in the laws of smicha, but yeah, I guess so. But I guess you can still do it the next day.
That makes this Tosfos difficult.
I mean, this is a revolutionary idea that apparently nobody thought of before him, because we would have seen it. But once he says it...
As I say, that's the one answer so far that makes this Tosfos quite difficult, because the Tosfos definitely goes against that.
I think all the answers disagree with Tosfos. I mean, Tosfos says that it is a mitzvah taseh shachrit.
Yeah, I know, but Tosfos actually says...
Yeah. This is the answer. This is the, well, I mean, everybody asks the same question as Tosfos. We just saw it for the first time in Tosfos. Everybody asks this question the same way. Everybody seems to disagree with his principle, but I don't know why.
Tosfos might say the same about Tzmicha.
He might. I mean, he would have to. Yeah. I think he would have to.
Couldn't use the matzah tomorrow and move also on Tzmicha by saying the sense of Mangrum Mab affect the cows, so you've got an action, it's basically action on the time.
But what about the... The nighttime part, I don't know.
But it's not because of night.
I hear you.
It's
because of the calendar. No, I hear you. They say this a similar thing, by the way. Actually, yeah, both of these answers. We'll get into other examples, but I just want, before I forget, because I didn't put it on the sheet. I think Rav Asher Weiss points out that the mitzvah of Bniyat HaMishkan, the question of whether or not women are obligated in it, because you're only allowed to do Bniyat HaMishkan during the daytime. At night, they didn't work. But, to the Tosfos Ritz point, they're allowed to arrange things at night. They're allowed to think about it. They're allowed to do things like that. And they have to. And to the Toria Evans point, it's not as if the mitzvah the next morning is a new mitzvah of Bniyat HaMishkan. It's the same mitzvah. It's just, you're not allowed to do it at night. So his precedent is pretty good.
He says they offer.
They should be. Yeah. Yeah.
Is Zmicha an independent mitzvah or something that is matir a different, a bigger mitzvah?
It's a precursor. Right?
I don't think it's ma'akev, but I think it's part of the mitzvah for the person bringing the korban. In the end of the day, women don't have to do smicha, but for a separate point.
I've been having it now about whether it's. Not not.
Specifically, not smicha?
Smicha is
part of the
process, yeah.
Well, we'll be, yeah. Okay, the last thing is just kind of a, well, it's literally a Hasidish word. It's written by the Imre Emet, and he has two ideas that he wants to say. First of all, he says, what?
I'll see a bit of poo coming in.
Yeah, so the Imre Emet is the second Ger Rebbe, I think. So he says, Eitzel ben Noach lo nitan adayin chiluk ben mitzvat asei shazman gramah le mitzvat asei she'en asman gramah. Said, well, if we're talking about Avram, during Avram's time where all this is coming from, so Sarah was not exempted from mitzvot aseh shehazman gramah, because it's before the Torah was given. Now, this obviously opens up a whole new can of worms.
Well, that goes against itself.
What? No, but it only addresses the question of why Sarah was not obligated. Sorry, why Sarah was not exempted.
But it also highlights the inyan.
Already, based on mitzvah taseh shehazman gramah, and we needed the otah v'lo otah.
Yeah, but we don't have... Well, that drosh doesn't apply to Sarah.
It applies to the future generations.
Why?
You didn't need otah to teach you Sarah wasn't high.
Why not?
Because he didn't command Sarah, commanded Avram, and Avram did it. Job done. So the Torah is only for future generations, and the only reason we know it is because of Tzav, so that answer doesn't work.
But because at the time women were obligated in Mitzvot Aseh Shehazman Gramah, you needed to have an exemption for her.
No, you didn't.
That was the point.
Hashem commanded Avraham. You didn't need an exemption. The question was, who did Hashem command? Avraham. End of story. You don't need an exemption for Sarah.
No, the point was, but there was an exemption of Sarah. That's the point. Otov lota exempts Sarah and all women after Sarah.
No, but it's only relevant to all women after Sarah.
Fine,
because Avram did it anyway.
Fine,
exactly.
Fine, fine. So Rachel, Leah, and Rivka. Why are they all exempt? They're exempt because of otov lota. Let's stick with that, right? So. One would ask, but they also should be exempt because it's mitzvot aseh shehazman gramah. So the answer to that is yes, but they were obligated in mitzvot aseh shehazman gramah because they were not exempted yet.
And for the rest of us, after the Torah,
there are two reasons why they're pterot. There are two reasons why they're pterot, according to.
So what other example in the whole Torah do we have of learning out something for a mitzvah before the Torah was given? We don't have any other
examples. We have some, we have other examples. We have Gira Nasha and Puravu. Right, but the details, like over here.
It's consistent all the way through. Okay, we're making a distinction.
Well, we're saying that the mitzvot would have worked differently for the avot in some ways, because there were principles that were given at Har Sinai that didn't apply to them. That's not strange. I mean, even Brit Milah applied differently for Avram. Avram did only Milah, not Priya. He did the Brit Milah differently than we do it. We added stuff on after Har Sinai. He gives another answer. That relationships between men and women were different. In fact, he says that in the time of Ben Noach, Yesh lam rak sher em v'lo sher av, that there was really only a relationship between a mother and a son, even more than between a father and a son. So that's why they needed to have an extra exemption over there. Im ken im lo hamiyut shel oto v'lo ta, hayinu omrim de mitzvot mila, isha mechuyavet mitam shehi ikar hasher shel ben hayilod. Because in those times, the mother was more related to the child than the father was.
Okay. Avraham and Yitzchak?
No, Noah.
What?
Avraham and Yitzchak?
No. Sarah was more related to Yitzchak than Avraham was. That's what you say. That's what you explain. Okay. Now, it's not really going to take us anywhere. I just noticed them, so I wanted to put them on as alternatives. But we saw basically five different answers. You have Tosfos' answer, who says, oh, it's a different opinion. And then we have four different conceptual answers to answer this question. Okay? If we turn over the page, we'll see some hashlachot and nafkamina. So the Minchas Chinuch devotes a long piece to this. Oh, it's late. Okay. This devotes a long piece to this. And he's actually talking about a different subject. He's talking about mitzvah lamed bet in the sefer, in the Minchat Chinuch. He writes what's called the Mosach HaShabbat, which is like a really long essay all about Hilchot Shabbat. It like eats up half of the first volume of Minchas Chinuch. So in there, he's talking the mitzvah of Shvitat Behemto, which is the obligation of a person to not have his animal work on Shabbat. Okay? It is a positive obligation. What do we say when we say the Kiddush during the day? I personally don't at home, but when I'm in Shifte, I do. Right? How does that pasuk start? Okay, so that's not the pasuk I'm looking for. Now, mitzvah Shvita Behemto is also a positive. There's also a positive mitzvah over there. He says, "Lichora kevin the Shvita Behemto v'avdo below mechamer tohu rak asay." It's an asay. Im ken avle asay shasman garma. Says this is a mitzvah asay shasman garma, but yet we it seems that women are obligated. How does he know that women are obligated? So he says he found a story in the Gemara where there's a woman who owned a para. And she was clearly not allowed to let it work on Shabbat. So he had a story. So he said, why was she obligated? After all, it's mitzvah taseh shasman garma. Now everybody's going to jump up and say, well, she's obligated just like she's obligated in Kiddush and everything else because of the obligations of the negatives. He swats that away. He doesn't think that's correct. So let's just see what he has to say. So he suggests a different reason why she would be obligated in Shvitat Behemto. And what is it? It's the Ritva. He says, well, the Ritva taught us already. Nashim turot mitzvot aseh shasman garma, inu ala b'mitzvah shebegufo. Is to tell you that when you have to do something, she doesn't have to do it. But here, it's a mitzvah aseh of not having your animal work. That's not on her. There's nothing for her to do. Something for her to do with her body. She just makes sure that her animal is not working. So it's not begufo. So he wants to say, that's the reason that she is obligated in Shitat Behemto. That's the upshot over here.
That's not the same, is it? Because on the Brit Milah, the child is obligated to have a Brit Milah, whereas the cow is not obligated not to work on her butt.
But it's an obligation.
It's somewhat different. You're right, it doesn't work exactly the same way, but it's still not on her. It's not something that she does. What?
Isn't there a general obligation for her to keep Shabbat?
Yes, there is.
And so this is one of the halachos of Shabbat?
So this is a separate, though. It's a separate mitzvah to say. It's a separate mitzvah to say of Shabbat. There's a lot. I mean, the Minchas Chinuch gets into this a lot with regards to Yom Tov and Shabbat. And
that's just a tax dodge, bro.
I couldn't find it, but I know that it's there. And the Minchas Chinuch also brings this up with one other halacha that's going to be extremely relevant soon.
Shmita
is a mitzvah lo taseh, but it's also mitzvah taseh. Shabbat Haaretz, right? And it's a mitzvah to say Shazman Garma, bounded by the year, right? But on the other hand, if the Ritva is right, it's not on her. It's on the land. So the Mirchas Chena says, according to the Ritva, she's obligated in Shmitata and Shvitata Aretz, the mitzvah to say.
Anyone say that?
Well, she's not exempt.
I don't know if anybody else brings it up, but I know that he says it. What is that?
She's not exempt.
She's not. Yes, she's obligated, just like we are.
Isn't she obligated off the negative or not?
She may be obligated, and there is a negative part, but that doesn't mean she's necessarily obligated in the positive. The way that Shabbos works is because it's Zachor v'Shomer b'Dibur Echad.
But it's not, it's also
chametz
and matzah.
Yes, there's also chametz and matzah, so that has to do with the special relationship between chametz and matzah. Kol she'eshna v'bal tocho chametz, yeshna v'kum echoch matzah. But that doesn't work for everything. It doesn't work for every mitzvah taseh and lo taseh that are connected to each other.
Can you really say the
mitzvah's
on the land?
It's certainly not begufa. Obviously, it doesn't mean that the land has to do something.
Yeah.
Obviously, it doesn't mean the land has to do something. It just means that she has to make sure that something happens to something that's not on her body. That's not her.
Same as the cow or the baby. Yeah.
Yes. That's
the baby's different because it's actually...
And there are so many examples where if a lamb is laid fallow...
At some point it will be.
Then the aleph kicks it, you know, makes it happen as well. Like historically, if you want to go down that line.
We're saying in some way the land does keep itself.
Yeah. Like,
maybe. But in terms of halacha l'maisa, okay... So here's another example. This is really halacha l'maisa. Does a man, if he has the ability, does a man have the obligation to personally do the brit milah of his child? So, a surgeon, okay? A surgeon who does all kinds of surgeries all the time, obviously knows how to do it, can handle himself, or a mohel, okay? Has a child. Should a mohel do his own child's milah?
No.
So the Shach, writes as follows: V'chein mashma midivei Rambam, the mitzvah to say zum utala la'av tchila, v'achim mashma pashat deshas. So obviously the father has the first obligation, as it says, ha'av chay b'bno la'mulo minalan dachtiv ayimol Abraham, etc., etc. V'katavti ze lefi shiraiti kama anashim mechabdim la'acherim la'mulot bneim av shem ba'atzma micholim la'mul uledati hem mevatlim mitzvat asay. The Shach wanted people to stop foregoing the mitzvah of Mila if they knew how to do it. If you don't know how to do it, if you're squeamish, if you can't handle it, fine, have somebody else do it for you. But if you know how to do it, if you've done it before, then you should not be giving it up to anybody else. That's what the Shach says. And who is he arguing with? Well, he's directly arguing with the Darkei Moshe. Who are the Darkei Moshe? That's it. That's right. The Rama, both Rav Yosef Karo and the Rama, right? They wrote the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama. Called it the Mapa, technically. But before they did that, they also wrote two other Sfarim. Rav Yosef Karo wrote the Beit Yosef, a commentary on the Tur, and Rav Moshe Israelis wrote the Darkei Moshe, a commentary on the Tur. Right? They were actually in lockstep. It's just that Rav Yosef Karo beat them to the punch every single time. It's fun. Anyways, so the Darkei Moshe, he quotes that this is not only the Shach's opinion. Katav bor zarua imaav moel asur liten lemoel acher. It's arachin ma'ishna mitzvat acheret sheyichvol lasot shliach mukamo. This or zarua, it's a different or zarua than the one we saw before. This or zarua says that if the father knows how to do it, he's not allowed to give it to somebody else. But the Darkei Moshe himself says, why not? How is this any different than any other mitzvah where you ask somebody else to do it for you, if you can ask somebody to do it for you, as a shaliach? Why should it be any different?
And that stuff comes to the idea of the ritva, that therefore he's actually on the good path.
Yeah. So let's see. So the Ktota Choshen, so he says, the Tuos Shor, it's Rak of Emden, I think, says, Katzav al divrei ashach, lo yadana mai raya, ma'itami divrei arash, v'chil lo yadana, de mitzvah hu ala av, v'chein v'kizvim, okay. And the Darkei Moshe as well. So basically he quotes the Darkei Moshe, who argues with the Shach, but then take a look at the Sefer HaMachneh. Take a look at the Sefer HaMachneh. The Sefer HaMachneh was Rav Pinchas Horovitz, one of the main teachers of the Chatam Sofer. He says, why did the Shach say what he says? what the Shach saw. Shinogin Av Mechabed the Mulat Benola Mulda Alide Acher. That somebody else would do the Brit Milah. On what basis did they do that? Against the Shach. So he says, maybe Hem Somchin Al Haramban Vaharidva Tosat Arid. There's some kind of mess over here about who he's quoting exactly. The Eina Mitzvah Al Ha'av Ela Ha'it Askut Bilvad. If you hold like the Tosas Arid and the Maharach or Zarua, then the Shach just falls away. Because the father never had an obligation to actually do the Brit Milah. He was just supposed to organize it. He just was supposed to make sure. So if you hold like the Tosas Arid and the Sefer Makne, and maybe the Ritva, right? Then the father was never supposed to do it anyways to begin with. He just had to arrange that it happened.
Would the Shach say that the mother would have had that same obligation to actually perform the Brit?
Yes.
So the mother would have actually had to perform the Brit.
If she,
if she knew how to do it, and she felt also, okay doing it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean...
That
what, that's surprising? Yes. I mean, in a world with female surgeons?
No. But
it's unlikely that in the context of the way the religion is practiced, that would be...
What did you think was going to happen until now? When it said that a woman was obligated, you just assumed she was going to pay somebody to do it?
Yes.
No, she would have done it.
Like the opinion...
She would have done it just like... Sipora did. Why not?
Yeah, but he's taking the view of the Tasek. If the idea is
the
Tasek,
yeah. So he's saying it. Elita Sek means you don't have to do it. You just have to arrange it, which is what we do, right? In general, this is what we do. This is what we do. The Shach says you have to go the extra mile and you actually have to do it yourself. It's better to do it yourself. He's assuming that you really have to go out and do it. He's definitely assuming not like the Tosas Rid. Last thing, quotes Rav Shmuel Baruch Werner, who quotes the Chidushi Haran. I don't know, this is recent. Tav Reish Tzadik Zayin, I don't know. So he quotes the Ran at the end of Moed Katan, who says as follows: Shem Sham Niftar Rishon. Sorry, where did it go? Yeah. So if a person, it's an analogy over here. If you have two people that pass away, Rahman Tzlan. So it seems that who should be buried first? The first person to die, right? That person should be buried first. So he says, "Uadin anolad rishon kodem lehimo." So too, if you have two children that were born, so who should be nimo first? The one who was born first, right? Behavi Rav Shmuel Baruch Werner. Kusha da Brit Avram Dishani Aniftar Rishon Shechal Chiyuv Kurato Anche Ha'ir Kodem Aniftar Sheni. But I don't understand. Where's the analogy over here? After all, with the two dead bodies, right? When did the Chiyuv of burial start for the first body? Right away. Right? Right away. So it precedes the Chiyuv of burial on the second body. But with two babies, when does the chiyuv of a brit milah start for the first baby?
When they're healthy after it.
At what point?
If they're healthy.
Presumably morning, right?
No, you're talking about
the chiyuv of the brit milah starts at night. You can't do a brit milah. Fine, whatever it is.
Same time.
Same kochavim. Okay, whatever it is. And when does it start for the second baby?
Same time.
Who cares who was born first? No. What do you say? Why? What would imply that it would? If the Ran says that no, the first baby has to be Nemo first, is he simply saying we've got to figure it out? What would be a reason to say that the first baby goes first? Who? Based on what we've seen,
because the chiyuv is activated first by him.
Why is that? Doesn't the chiyuv occur on the eighth day for both of them at the exact same time? It's not made late. It's not like his chiyuv starts at 3 o'clock in the morning. His chiyuv starts at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Isn't that who's the example that Rabbi Rosen always brings about two kids born on the same day in a tall tower, and one on the 80th floor and one on the third floor, and depending on when sunset is, that He said it actually would be...
Interesting.
Yeah. There
well, that would be a nafka mina, because the Gemara actually talks about that in terms of an eighth-day baby and a seventh-day baby or a ninth-day baby. The Gemara talks about all that. Obviously, the eighth-day baby goes first and everything, but...
So if one's just before sunset, one's after sunset.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter when they're born. No, here, they're both in the same place. You have them both in the same shul. They're both... Two babies are sitting in front of you. The sun hit them at the same time, but one of them is 4 hours older than the other. And the Ron says, clearly the one is further. What?
It's because the obligation to...
is when the child is born.
What obligation?
To organize the
obviously the obligation is from when the baby is born.
But the time for it is...
Because when do you start preparing the Brit Milah? When it's born, right? The moment after it's born, you start thinking, okay, who's going to be the Moel? When are we going to do the Bismillah? Where are we going to do the Bismillah? What are we going to serve with the Bismillah? Is it going to be in the morning? Is it going to be at night? In America, it's always in the morning. I don't know what this business with the night, afternoon, whatever. And nobody serves schnitzel out of Bismillah in America. I don't understand the whole thing.
Hang on.
That doesn't
work. Because the mitzvah is only chal.
The mitzvah of the actual act of the Brit Milah. But we're not talking about the mitzvah of the actual act of the Brit Milah. We're talking about the hit askut in the Brit Milah.
There cannot be that mitzvah before the mitzvah is chal on the baby.
What? No. There's a thing that you cannot do the Brit Milah, actual Brit Milah, until the eighth day. That doesn't mean that there's no obligation beforehand.
Are you over anything if you don't do it on the seventh day? So Lehita say, if I do nothing on the seventh day, I mean, over anything for every minute that I'm not ready.
No, you just have to do it. That's the nature of Hita's good. Once you do it, whenever you do it.
If the father didn't organize it, he starts on the sixth day, then the second baby who may have started on the fourth day should...
No, but the obligation occurred. The obligation in the beginning. What do you mean, what script does that give him? When I wake up in the morning, I have an obligation of wearing a tallit, right? But I don't do it for like...
Yeah, but
until 2 hours after the sun, you know, comes up.
Then you should get ready. What's the issue?
Okay, but no, but that's not how it works.
I don't understand the logic here. Why would, because the father had that mitzvah upon him, first give him the right to first...
I wouldn't talk about the fire, talk about the sun, really, but yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, but no, but...
That's a nice idea, but I don't see...
Well, that's what he says. Chazav Hashanah, wait a second, Tirat Agon Shmuel Werner, the chiyuv ha'av hu lid'og l'tapel b'tzorchei mila et b'no, v'chiyuv zeh chal mishat ha'leida. V'shapir lamed ha'ran sheyesh lakim et ha'leida. So he finds this in the Ran. He says that's the only explanation you can think of for the Ran, for what the Ran might be saying. The Ran must hold like Tosfos Arid. That is his haskus. Haskus. So this halacha l'maisa. I had planned on maybe bringing stuff about whether or not a woman should or can give a bismillah. It's actually a difference between Ashkenaz and Sephardim a little bit. But I don't want to give it short shrift, so I'm not going to talk about it. Talk about another time. Check off.
Chazak u baruch.